Support for this podcast and the following message come from SAP Concur. Employees can submit expenses and invoices from anywhere, and you get the visibility and control you need to drive your business forward. Learn more at concur.com/WSJ.
This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York, and Google's CEO Sundar Pichai faces lawmakers who are quite skeptical over Google's practices as it pertains to privacy and alleged anti-conservative bias. Google's chief executive deflected questions Tuesday as he made a long-awaited first appearance before lawmakers. Diving into it all after these tech headlines. Yes, it still exists. No, really. Google Plus is still a thing for now, not much longer, according to Google, however. In October, the Wall Street Journal reported that a software glitch exposed the private data of hundreds of thousands of Google Plus users. Google at the time said it would close the consumer version of Google Plus. It now says it will dial things up a notch and close it earlier than planned. In its announcement this week, Google also noted that it introduced the bug during a software update on November 6th and fixed the issue less than a week later, adding that Google's investigators didn't find any evidence developers misused data. Verizon is set to shed some workers. It will let go approximately 10,400 of them who have accepted a severance package as the world's largest U.S. wireless carrier, by subscribers, works to cut $10 billion in costs. But why? To upgrade to a faster 5G network. The pool of employees set to depart includes some information technology workers as well as management employees. The Wall Street Journal's Sarah Krause has more at WSJ.com or the WSJ app. And Supermicro says it has found no malicious hardware in its motherboards. The company examined equipment following allegations of one rogue chip. Here's the deal. A report from Bloomberg News in October said Micro's motherboards contained a rogue chip, not part of the original design. Apple was named in the article as a former Supermicro customer. CEO Tim Cook said Bloomberg should retract the story. Amazon Web Services CEO Andy Jassy echoed that sentiment in a tweet. Supermicro reiterated that neither its customers nor government agencies had ever told the company they had found malicious hardware on its products. Coming up, the CEO of Google faces tough questions before lawmakers, what he has to say about Google's practices regarding privacy, political bias, and the noted widening gap of distrust.
IBM is working with clients to put smart to work and bring progress to everyone. Together with IBM, experts are putting smart to work to help the environment, improve safety on the road, and make progress. Not just for a few of us, but for all of us. Because while technology has never been smarter, smart only matters when you put it to work. Let's put smart to work. Find out how at ibm.com/smart/UK.
Appearing at a hearing before the House Judiciary Committee on Tuesday, Google CEO Sundar Pichai fielded tough questions about various things, including Google's data privacy practices and its handling of disinformation campaigns by foreign actors. Here to talk more about the big event on Capitol Hill Tuesday, joining us from San Francisco is The Wall Street Journal's Douglas McMillan. Hey, Douglas.
Hi.
A lot on Google's plate here. We'll get to sort of the best of the playlist here. But one thing you noted in your piece was that a lot of the discussion had to do with political bias. I know, I mean, the setting is right for that, I guess. But let's talk about that. Sundar Pichai meets before lawmakers. What does he have to say?
Yeah, so Google has the world's most used search engine. It's dominant in the world of internet search. And lawmakers, specifically Republicans in Washington, have been talking a lot lately about their concerns that Google is using that dominance to push the voices of liberals and suppress the voices of conservatives. This is something that Google has vehemently denied. Nonetheless, this is an argument that Republicans in the House saw an opportunity to push, and we heard from many lawmakers who are citing various studies, citing various reports, suggesting that there is some truth to this idea that if you search for something on Google, the results you see are likely to be favorable to Democrats and liberals and suppress the voices of Republicans and conservatives.
So How does Sundar Pichai defend this specifically, this, you know, Google's impartiality specifically?
It's actually a pretty hard thing to defend. And I think that's one thing that was highlighted in the hearing is that, you know, Google has its secretive algorithms are what come up with the search results that you see. And for competitive reasons and for the reason that they don't want people to game the search algorithm, Google doesn't disclose many details about how its search engine works and how it orders those search results. So therefore, it becomes very difficult for this company to defend allegations like these ones, that there's some kind of bias inserted into its algorithm. Frequently, when he was asked about conservative bias, he simply said that, you know, you have to take my word for it. I didn't go far enough to appease a lot of the concerns that we heard from lawmakers. And part of it is, you know, the fact that Google, you know, has this black box algorithm and that it refuses to open up that black box.
You mentioned specifically disclosure or lack thereof. That brings us to another hot topic of discussion, that is transparency, not just for Google, but, you know, it's something that a lot of big tech is dealing with. What does Google have to say with regards to the criticism it faces in terms of just not being transparent enough?
Well, yeah, a lot of that criticism has to do with data privacy. And this has been a big topic in Washington all year. Most of the criticism has been directed at Facebook, its competitor in online advertising. But Google has a great variety of different types of data in its systems. And there were a lot of questions from Congress about what it's doing to protect that data. I think that what we heard from Sundar was a commitment to get better at explaining to users how it's collecting their data. I think that there are some real pointed questions about, you know, yes, your users are opting into a lot of these services, but they don't know, unless they read detailed privacy policies and are able to understand them, they don't know what they're actually opting into. And they aren't always aware that maybe, you know, some third-party app is monitoring their location when they go to the doctor's office or when, you know, they send an email to a confidential connection. So I think what we did hear from Google CEO is a commitment to be more clear and help users understand how their data is being used.
Right, especially in light of the latest with, you know, Google Plus. The hits just keep coming in terms of this whole topic. Another one is business practices with China. There's so many things to get into here in terms of what Google has to answer for. I'm wondering where those discussions led, especially considering the current climate.
Yeah, this was probably the most evasive topic for Sundar Pichai. He was repeatedly asked, probably by a half dozen lawmakers, you know, essentially the same question. Are you going to launch a search engine in China that will filter your search results in accordance with the Chinese government's wishes? And essentially, he did not have a good answer for that. And I think it was conspicuous that he didn't have a good answer. He had a pretty scripted line, which stopped short of answering that real question. His scripted line was, you know, we currently do not have a search engine there. He stuck to the script, but we will, you know, he committed to being transparent with Congress on any progress there. So I think that that's something definitely people are going to want follow up on. And he's now committed in sworn testimony that Google is going to be transparent about any development towards a Chinese search engine.
Right. And I wonder about the follow up and where things go from here, because there has been talk about, you know, perhaps Google has trouble facing such criticism. And I wonder if everything that went down on Tuesday maybe exemplifies that. I just wonder how everyone feels. Was it a satisfying meeting? Were lawmakers satisfied? And does Google feel like it got through it? I mean, what happens from here? Where does how does the dust settle?
Sadly, I think that this is going to be considered a success for Google because they avoided looking like they were doing anything too controversial. Like we said earlier, a lot of the questions focused on these questions around conservative bias, which frankly, that line of questioning didn't go very far. It didn't dig in very far. The questions about data privacy, which were, I think, more thought-provoking and intriguing, there was a lack of detailed follow-up. And there was a lack of, you know, willingness for Sundar Pichai's part to explain in detail how their data collection regime works. I think, you know, from an onlooker's perspective and from a user and a consumer of Google services, I wouldn't be satisfied with what just happened with the amount of accountability that was on display. However, I think for everybody in that room, they will walk away satisfied. I think Google sees its leader and Sundar Pichai having survived his first big test in Washington. He's not a political player. You know, I'll be calling around lawmakers this week to see what they think, what their reaction was. But, you know, largely, I think they're going to be satisfied that they got, you know, Google CEO into Washington. They got him to testify under oath. And, you know, they got some level of accountability for a company that they, you know, a lot of people in Washington have felt like has evaded accountability this year.
Very good. We'll leave it on that note. Douglas McMillan, thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
That's it for the Tech News Briefing. Reporting from the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.